Tonight's message first came to my attention quite some time ago while I was looking through my dad's research among the items that were given to me after his passing a number of years ago. It's actually a subject that he preached on at his small church in Northwest Indiana. As the date approached for me to teach, Pastor Drew said to me, do you have a topic that you want to talk about, Mr. Robert, a passage of scripture that's been coming to your mind lately? And this question popped back into my head and kept coming up over and over, so I shared it with him. And it came in the form of a question: do small churches please God? Drew said, go for it. I love it. Well, you know, Tuesday I was talking to a coworker of mine who asked about the after-dinner theater and how things went. She really asked me because she was interested in hearing especially about the award-winning dance routine that the wise guys, Mr. Mark, Mr. Joe, and myself, performed. So after watching the video segment and allowing for her tears of joy and delight to subside, I mean, basically I had to give her about 5 minutes to pull herself back together, I mentioned that I'd be teaching this week, and I shared with her the question that I was going to cover. She looked at me and she said, yeah, I mean, small churches please God. Why would you need to teach on that? Then I shared with her briefly my reasoning. Why, of course, the answer is yes, small churches can and do please God, but why do they please God? And how can you be sure? This is what I want to unpack and learn and share. You know, while it might seem like a duh, of course they do topic, the question goes really much, much deeper. And it's a lot more widely prominent in the minds of churchgoers than you might think. Maybe even some of you have had those thoughts like this in the past. I know when I was a child and I was younger, I thought the same thing too. After all, we really live in a society that thrives on comparison and competition. So I don't know if any of you guys remember, who remembers the Pepsi Challenge? Yeah? You remember that? It was an 80s marketing campaign where people were offered two unmarked cups. One of the cups contained Coke and the other cup contained Pepsi. And apparently, you know, most people liked Pepsi because that's what the ad said. People picked Pepsi over Coke. I mean, comparing the two brands made quite a difference, didn't they? I mean, Mr. Mark, did you take the Pepsi challenge? What did you pick? You picked Pepsi? Oh, my goodness. All right, so who made the mistake and picked Coke? And you ran me off the track, too, the other day. Oh, no. Joe? Anyway, no. So comparing two different brands makes sense, right? I mean, they're different, but what if we ran the same test with two different sizes? I mean, would Mr. Mark's Pepsi taste any different than my Pepsi? I mean, that would be pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it? I mean, the only difference is the size of the container. That's it. No matter the size, the contents are actually the same, and that's what matters, right? I mean, wouldn't you agree that testing by size really is kind of dumb? Yeah? Who likes Pepsi? All right, Joel's getting the Pepsi. Pepsi, look at that. Can you hand that back to him? I don't want to go too far and set off all the lights and the alarms going by those speakers. So yeah, it'd be pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it? So why? Why do we measure the effectiveness of church by its size? I mean, a church of 20 and a church of 5,000 are full of both the same, right? Christ followers. And why do we measure the effectiveness of the church by the size of its bank account? Or the size of the building? Or the fact that whether they have a building or not in the first place? The number of people on staff? The number of missionaries they support? The number of ministries? Whether they do or don't even have ministries? Now, don't understand me or anything I say tonight. I'm not against big churches. Tonight is not meant to undermine or devalue big church contribution to the kingdom of God. Many big and mega churches their pastors do a great job leading their flock. The church and its members further the kingdom in mighty, immense ways. And as a result, God is glorified, people are reached with the message of salvation, and his mission is achieved. God is extremely pleased. The point is that it would be a mistake to write off churches because of their size or because they're small. It'd be a mistake to think the way to please God is to build attendance or by having a building or any other man-made measuring stick. Jesus himself routinely indicated how small things, the seemingly unimportant people, a prostitute, a shepherd, a tax collector, a fisherman, a cup of water, a mustard seed, one act of faith. Those are the things that mattered to God and where we saw God at work quite a bit. So don't get me wrong, though. Not every small church is healthy. Not every big church is either. The fact of the matter is, actually, though, the majority of churches around the world, most are considered small. And it's for this reason and others that tonight we'll look at God's answer to the question, do small churches please God? According to the National Congregations study, the median size in the United States of a church has 75 regular participants in worship. Pretty similar to some nights here at Westbridge. In fact, if your attendance is under 100 people in size, your church makes up almost 60% of the number of churches that exist in the U.S., excluding Catholic and Orthodox churches. And you'll see another 35% of churches between 100 and 500 people in attendance. If you did the math, 95% of the churches in the U.S. have less than 500 people. And in that same study, they kind of tell you the breaking point for the majority of that 95 is at about 200 people or less in attendance. And in case you're curious, a mega church, you hear about those, that's 2,000 or more in attendance. So Westbridge, if you didn't already know this, we're a small church. But small does not mean inferior, but it doesn't mean better or worse either. It's just different in size. Something that we should be proud of, given that small has its advantages. God uses those advantages. He has used those advantages these past 14 years. It's also a place where we shouldn't want to stay. If God wants our individual church to remain small, then Westbridge remains small. If God grows Westbridge in size, we grow. Your job and mine is to actively pursue God with our life by serving and supporting Westbridge physically, financially, so that God can use it to accomplish his plan and grow his bigger church. Psalm 115:13 says, he will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Those who fear the Lord will receive his blessings. Doesn't matter the size. Acts 10:34 and 35 state this. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And remember the widow's offering in Mark 12, verse 41 through 43, where Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at outward appearance. He doesn't look at size. God uses physical churches of all sizes, tiny, small, medium, large, mega large, to further his kingdom. All churches and each of his children have a place and a role to play. Together as God's church, we all make up the total body of believers who God has called out from the world and into his eternal kingdom. When God established his church, he didn't create different religious denominations. He didn't create different standards for different regions. He didn't create different standards for different cultures, different standards for different languages. His church is simply all accept the salvation gift of faith. And what God expects of everyone is exactly the same standard. Believers in big churches are not any more or less accepted by God than those in other churches. God loves small and great alike. He doesn't play favorites. He loves everyone equally, and he desires a close personal relationship with each and every person. So thus far, we've uncovered several truths from the Bible I want to highlight, and you can capture those right there in your outline in the space provided. Truth number one, size does not indicate health. Size does not indicate health. Truth number two, size does not define importance. And truth number three, size does not determine impact or value. Do small churches please God? Well, the answer is yes, of course. Small churches can and do please God. But if my friend from work were here tonight, she'd probably stop me right here and say, "Hey, Robert, wait a minute. Why do they please God? And how can you be sure? You said this is why you wanted to cover the topic, so you still haven't answered the question." And right she would be. The truths themselves can't answer the question. The answer is found by looking at what God instructs the church to do and assessing whether we are obeying, small churches are obeying what God commands. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. It says this, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" This section of scripture is entitled the Great Commission. This is God's instructions for what we as individual Christ followers, the members of his church, should be in the business of carrying out. By the way, this is not unique to small churches. I mean, every church is expected to do this. However, for the purposes of tonight's question, we're going to keep answering it for small churches. And in doing so, we'll answer it for us here at Westbridge. From this passage, I want to focus on four instructions that stood out when I studied it, which can be used to assess if small churches please God. Instruction number one, small churches are to give God their worship. The Bible teaches us many ways in which we're to worship God. We're to worship God through song. Psalm 101 tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And thank goodness there's no qualification of a joyful noise worth hearing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to make a joyful noise for him. We're supposed to sing to our God. We're supposed to worship God through dance. The Bible tells us this in Psalm 149:3. "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp." And I'd say small churches and Christians who attend a small church can do these two things just as effective as any other church. And here at Westbridge, God has blessed us with gifted leaders and people who worship God and help us worship him incredibly well. The third song tonight was something they saw last week. We're playing it tonight, and they sounded fantastic. And I'm certain God was pleased when Mr. Joe and Mr. Mark danced for Jesus Christ as a part of the after-dinner theater. One of the key places where we are to worship God is at church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. We worship God by attending church. By being here tonight, you are worshiping God. You're pleasing Him by going to church regularly, being a part of a small group. You and I are supposed to get together where we can lift each other up. Believers, we can encourage one another. We can remain strong in our faith. It's God's design. Another form of worship takes place through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 instructs us to never stop praying. God should be the first number on our mental speed dial. It should be easy and often that we speak to Him. When we pray, we bring forth our thanks, our praise, our confession, and bring Him our requests and our issues. Every Saturday night since the beginning, those involved and others who are interested to join meet in a room over there and pray before the service begins. We gather in a room, we join hands, we talk over what's going on, and we ask for God's message to come forth loud and clear through every ministry area in the church. And if you weren't aware, Westbridge also has a prayer team. They do the same thing. They go to every part of the building on Saturday night, and they pray for that area, that leader, that teacher, that volunteer. And at the end of the service, you'll find them. Tonight it's Mr. Caleb and Mr. Greg. If you want to pray with somebody, they would love to spend time with you in prayer to lift up to God something that you want Him to know. Even if it's anonymous, it doesn't matter. You don't have to give the details. Our prayer team would love to connect with you. And another channel of worship God uses is giving. God asks us to give our tithe, a portion of what He gives us back to Him. Financially, we're to support His church. You can read that in Malachi 3:8. The two next forms of worship were highlighted this week at men's group from Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. As the Bible tells us, worship happens when we study His book of instruction, the Bible. When we open it up on our own, we read it, we try to understand what's going on, we're worshiping Him. And when we obey God's instruction, we're also worshiping Him. While it's not an exhaustive list, that's a number of ways for small churches to worship God. So back to the question, do small churches please God with their worship? Yes, they can, and just as effectively as others. Hopefully the how and the why are now quite clear. And Westbridge, I believe God is very pleased with the worship we offer. I'm proud to be part of a church that puts God's plans first. To work with other leaders who seek and follow God's guidance in decision making. A church full of volunteers, no one's paid here, who serve God in all these areas of worship. However, we can't rest here. As a church going forward, we have to continue to ask God, how can we better worship Him? And I challenge you this week to ponder the different ways God is to be worshiped. And ask yourself, where do I need to grow my worship in 2016? The next instruction we find in the Great Commission is that small churches, Westerbridge, you and I, need to reach the community. Giving also comes in the form of serving with our time, our effort as resources within the church and beyond to serve others. Contrary to popular society's belief, church is not an exclusive country club. It's not a place where everything that happens and all the activity and all the energy and all the time and all the resources invested benefit within the four walls of the club. Or they're used to improve the grounds so that the club can have a better golfing experience. The church is called by God to reach the community. And this is where small churches, in many cases, have the advantage that God uses. In 2001, the town of Phillipsburg celebrated its 150th anniversary. The celebration would consist of a parade, among other things. And I think it was Miss Megan Hathaway who brought up the idea that Westbridge should build a float and participate in the parade. Well, quickly springing into action, Westbridge was able to borrow a long, flat farm trailer, secure a truck to haul it, then a team built around that trailer a float. They decorated it. We hooked up a generator where our band and worship singers would stand on it, and people would sit and walk and throw candy, bags of candy, which included, by the way, our church name and our website. What a brilliant idea. And we did it in a very short amount of time. We had a great time doing it. We had a great time serving, and we reached thousands of people with love. Westbridge even won an award for our float that you can see hanging in the upper room. An idea that went from proposal to implementation in a very short amount of time. In a large church, things might take a bit longer in review. Sometimes it requires a review with the elder board, and sometimes those things are scheduled on a defined cadence, or even taken to the church body as a whole to validate if that's a good idea for that church to participate in. I don't highlight this because that's not a good practice. Only that it's different, that's all, in their approach. Mega churches are kind of the cruise ship, I think, that God uses to grow his kingdom. And if large and mega churches are the cruise ship, then small churches, Westbridge, we're the speedboats. We're able to respond a little bit faster than larger churches, maneuver in a bit tighter spaces and speeds that are more challenging for larger churches. Could larger churches have had a float in the Peaberg Parade? Absolutely. A booth at the Warren County Fair? Definitely. Could they have met people at Safe Harbor and encouraged them? Yep. Could they have volunteered at the Belvedere Food Pantry over Thanksgiving? You bet. Or built shelves and cleaned and painted at the Oxford Woman's Shelter? They definitely could have. Could they walk around a track for Relay for Life for Cancer? Most definitely, many probably do. Just like small churches could have a radio broadcast or a TV ministry. My father, for years, pastored a church of less than 30 people, while he had a radio ministry that reached over 100,000 people. Small churches can and do please God when they reach the community, and Westbridge surely has done just that time and time again. Yet again, we can't just stop here, my friends. Tonight's message from God invites us to reflect. Where could we do more as a church? How do you and I personally reach the community? Maybe it's invite someone to church. Don't do it like that. Oh, don't do it like that. My prayer is 2016 is the year God uses you and me to reach others more than years prior. Ask him to open up the door and give you the opportunity and the courage to ask someone in your family, your coworker, your friend, to come to church with you. And as new people walk through the door, let each of us continue what we've done for 14 years so very well. Meet and welcome every person, wherever they are, whatever they're wearing, however they smell, with warmth, a welcoming smile, a solid handshake, and sometimes a big gen hug. For we all know there's no better place for a person to be, nowhere they should feel more welcome than in God's church. The next area we're called is to make disciples. The making of disciples is God's means for answering the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's in Matthew 6, 9 and 10. In his infinite wisdom, God, Jesus, has chose to use us, his dedicated followers, his disciples, to carry the message of salvation to all people of the world. He included this as a command in his last words before he ascended to heaven. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Making disciples is important because it's the Lord's design. You and I are God's agents for spreading the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. During his public ministry, Jesus spent more than 3 years making disciples and investing and teaching and training his chosen 12. He gave them many convincing proofs that he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. He spoke to the crowds, but often he drew the disciples aside privately to teach them the meaning of his parables and miracles. And then he sent them out on ministry assignment. And so too, small churches are to be in the business of making disciples. Through worship, as we reach the community, both as a church body and via our individual daily lives, we are to be the living proof of God's transformational power through Jesus Christ. And as people recognize the change in us, this will draw many to be curious and open a door for us to share our story with them. The story of how accepting Jesus and letting him lord over our lives has given us eternal hope. How it's embodied us a confidence in our self-worth, a love for others we never had, and how Jesus brings us joy and peace and comfort, among many other things that are not really possible to achieve without him. And the final point for tonight, small churches please God as they teach and train others. Right now, KidsBridge volunteers are teaching our children love by sitting on the floor and giving them a puppet show, putting together a puzzle, sharing a snack. Kids are being taught using curriculum, games, videos, making crafts especially designed to engage them at their level of learning and understanding. They're back there being taught God's message. And here in the main service, we're blessed with great teaching and preaching. We have great teaching on Wednesday night in men's group, and on Wednesday in women's group, although I've never been. They don't let me go. Youth group does a fantastic job, our college and career group. And I've learned, and I've personally grown tremendously by being at those places. And I've personally grown by Pastor Drew most, as he stood right here. From my view, Westbridge excels in this area. Here the Bible is taught by studying and teaching the truth of what it says, and not what we want it to say. This church hasn't strayed away from the topic of sexual purity and the sanctity of marriage that God has designed for one woman together with one man. I've learned from Pastor Drew not only that it's important to understand what the Bible says, but also, so what? If that's what it says, so Robert, what are you going to do with that information? And the now what? How are you going to apply it in your life? How to bring God's word to life and the importance of making it real, relevant, and bringing forth the application so that I can see it play out in my life. So Pastor Drew, at the firehouse tonight, hear this encouragement. You are greatly appreciated for all you have done. How you have led, how you've empowered, how you've obeyed God's call to serve. Though Westbridge is small in size, God is pleased. Thank you for remaining faithful in the task, trustworthy, greatly will be your reward in heaven. Lastly, it isn't reserved just for Pastor Drew or those who stand here, lead a small group, or volunteer in KidsBridge. Each of us are called to teach and train others God's truth. We are God's messengers, as we learned, for teaching our children, our spouses, our families, our co-workers and neighbors, and those we can come in contact with the love of God by our words, our choices, our values, and most importantly, through our actions. The answer is most definitely yes. And I think we've proven it. Small churches please God when they teach truth just as effectively as large churches. Westbridge pleases God. If you remember only a few things from tonight, remember the video. The result of what we small churches, and most especially each of you here at Westbridge, it doesn't have to be recognized or felt or measured by worldly interpretations of success. All you do for God plants seeds, as the video shows. Seeds that impact others directly and indirectly. And as a result, his total church grows. We might not see it. We might not know about it on this side of eternity. But God uses seeds to grow mighty trees. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we head full speed into 2016, let this be the year that each of us do more to please you. Help us to do more to please you in areas of worship. Help us to do more reaching out to others and into the community that you have asked us to serve. Give us strength to bring forth the message of salvation by living, teaching, and training others in your truth. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. Keep us safe as we leave this place. Bring us back next week. We love you, Father. In your name we ask. Amen. See you next Saturday night. Have a good week.